Blog Talk Radio.
Once again, we tango for cash. Raz Cash,
Ching Ching,
Dr. Dre, and back and back
and back. Back to belly. For all my niggas in the hood. Niggas with two strikes that don't want to see the third. Just holler my name and witness game official. Niggas are so shame they stand stiff like scared bitches. While I remain inside a paradox on my block, no gunshots is promised to me, when will I stop? I hit the weed and hope to God I can fly high. Witness my enemies die when I ride by. They should have tried me, send their bodies to their parents up north. With they faces, they wrists, and they nuts cut off. Fuck them all when I scream as I dream in tongues. Fuck a trick, get me rich and the bitches will come. Bust my gun, make them all scatter. Bullets to my nuts only made my balls fatter. Eat a dick, biatch, mercy, never that. You say you coming back, bring it on, forever strapped. Introduce you to the pleasure and the pain, you could go so far. Just tell me your soul and live the life of a ghetto star.
Ghetto, fabulous, money make the world go round, so let's handle this. Ghetto, fabulous, broadcasting live from Los Angeles, we ghetto, fabulous. Money make the world go round, so let's handle this. Ghetto, fabulous. Broadcasting live from Los Angeles.
You ain't heard of me, you ain't listening hard enough. Started in Compton, serving from an ice cream truck. Now 10 years later, whipping a custom navigator. Stepping on your toes, player, scuffing up your alligators. I'm ghetto, like Newport cigarettes, feel me? Boom, bap, and slap that ass silly. This is for the full-time student slash part-time strippers. And young niggas, clocking at least 5 figures. Some of us pro athletes, some of us rap over fat beats. Some of us hustle in the streets, 20 deep at Club Nikki, so you know we got to mingle. Tricking off a pocket full of singles, huh. And it's all bueno, musical mafia, like Frank Sinatra. Proper 13 shot Glock to make you go see the doctor. Ain't nothing nice from hood to hood, love living the lavish life.
Ghetto, fabulous, money make the world go round, so let's handle this. Ghetto, fabulous, broadcasting live from Los Angeles, we ghetto.
In the GS, 3 ooh ooh, playing number 2 pecking, 0 to 60 in 6.7 seconds, hanging out the window, acting up, chicken ass like you doing so much,
lost
in the Rolex, what's the perpetual, 35 diamonds across the face, still eating out phone cups and paper plates, we don't call it player hating in the 9-8, it's P.I., that's pass interference, automatic first down. More juice like Tupac than obey your thirst crown. Begin the PJs and NY, rocking DK. Mix EJ with OJ, okay? We say
LA niggas got crazy games. Like John Elway got a Super Bowl ring.
The homies down for whatever. We Jack the Cheddar, Swiss bank accounts, and Mo Mozzarella fella.
Ghetto, fabulous. Money make the world go round, so let's handle this. Ghetto, fabulous. Broadcasting live from Los Angeles, we ghetto, fabulous, money make the world go round, so let's handle this, ghetto, fabulous, broadcasting live from Los Angeles.
Talking to my homies that was buried, say my enemies wanna see me dead, I ain't worried, forgive me, please give me shelter, call my fears, lifted my head, put my hands, had a palm of tears, I see bodies getting splashed with acid, 2 shots sprang from the plastic, Glock wrapped in plastic, bury the bastard, time to notify this family, shit, ain't nothing left to be identified, evacuate the crime scene fast, why hurt the feds, had a warrant for my ass, fly, I won't touch down till I see Tijuana, set up shop, selling them crooked cops marijuana, label me a success, I made the switch, retired from the life that never gave me shit, for cash that I couldn't spend, countless cars, an addict for a wife, my life as a ghetto star.
Ghetto, fabulous. Make the world go round, so let's handle this. Ghetto, fabulous. Broadcasting live from Los Angeles, we ghetto.
Better Love. Welcome to the Truth to Power Show. My name is Beverly, and we have a heavyweight in the house with us tonight. Well, we'll say we on the front porch, and we also have Eric and Lady G with us. So this is going to be a very exciting night here tonight. Eric, how are you doing this evening?
Doing well, Bev. Doing well. I'm not feeling ghetto fabulous, but I feel good though. Yeah, and I want to say big up, greetings to all. Man, I already had about 3-4 interviews already, Bev. So, man, it's deep. Yeah. Well, just connecting with some uh-huh. of the family, and it's been really deep. You know, it's been really It's been excellent. That's all I can say. It's not a bad thing. It's I'm flying pretty high.
Good
so,
time.
Yeah. Thank you for bringing us to this table together. Like the little brother on Soul Food had to trick everybody to bring them the grandma table, you know, so
right.
we can hash out these differences and break bread and possibly find some money in the TV because ain't nothing else in the TV. So, you know what I mean? So. So we're looking to find some lyrical gems tonight, and we're going to talk.
Yes.
Curtis, we're going to talk about, you know, last week we started the show with Curtis Mayfield. Want to say big up to all Geminis, all people born in the month of June. And so, yeah, we started with Curtis Mayfield, right? And then I thought about mm-hmm. it. I said, man, our guest is Curtis. And
yes.
he got a childhood friend that they started this business together named Bob Whitfield. So Curtis Mayfield? And then I looked at Curtis Mayfield.
Wow.
I looked at his Earth return. It's June the 3rd. June the 3rd. Okay. I said, man, this is gonna be a trip. I'm going to call some of the homies that I haven't heard from in years and invite them to the show. The first person I thought mm-hmm. of, because his house – was right across the street from the cabbage patch, this cabbage field, all right?
Okay.
Yeah, y'all, welcome to this energy field. This is how we do things over here. We always use the numbers to line things up, make things, everything is in a natural flow, right? So my friend Brett Young, he lived across from the cabbage field, and I looked him up, but I didn't know that he had passed because I've been out of touch. I haven't talked to some of these people 20, 30 years. I didn't know the brother had mm-hmm. passed, right? And then I looked at it in the comments and met everybody, met exactly how he was, how I remember him growing up. Everybody who commented about him said the same thing, man. You've never heard nobody speak negative about this brother, Brett Young. Okay.
Okay.
Then I messed around and seen Brett Young's birthday. Brett Young was born on June the 3rd, same day as Curtis
oh.
Mayfield.
Okay.
Yeah, so we got the Patti LaBelles, and we got the Regina Bells, and we got LL Rock the Bells, and we know we got the Beverly Hills, we got Dominguez Hills, we got San Pedro, we got Palos Verdes, you know what I'm saying? We got the Carson Twins Cinema. Now check this out: if y'all write down the word dolphin, which we all grew up at Dolphin Park, if you write down the word dolphin, the first word you're going to see in dolphin, well, you're going to see do, of course, do, which when you're working, you're doing stuff, you know, patchworks, job works, fireworks, as you put it, Bev. But anyway, in dolphin, you see doll. Now, there was this big splash that came out on the market in 1983 called the Cabbage Patch Doll. The Cabbage Patch Doll.
Yeah,
I mean, it was like a Good Friday. People were punching each other and stabbing and cutting to get this dog. What's wrong with people? Then I said, man, what was it about this dog that made people go crazy like that when it first came out in 1983? Bev, I looked up vintage cabbage dolls. Y'all got to pull this out. Y'all not going to. After this, I'm going to ask you to let our guest in, Bev. This is ridiculous, all right? Check this out. I looked up vintage cabbage patch dolls.
Okay.
The most expensive doll out of the collection is called, y'all ready? The hand-signed Little People Twin. The hand-signed Little People Twin.
I can't make it up. Y'all go check it out. I can't. It
costs $3,500 for a Cabbage Patch doll right now today. That's how much it's worth.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, man, welcome to the mountain.
Cabbage Patch dolls back then. Wow.
Yeah, yeah. So welcome to the Mound Table, fam. And if you look at the word dolphin, after you go past the doll, the Cabbage Patch doll, what you're going to see is a phi ratio, P-H-I. Then after P-H-I, you're going to see the infinite letter N, which is 14, which guess what that Cabbage Patch doll number is, number 14. N is 14, you know, the letter N in Egyptology is the word noon. Noon means fish. Ah, man. I don't need to go no farther. We can start right there, man. We can let Mr. Curtis Daniels in, and we can let Lyrical in. We can let Lyric in also.
Okay. And for the people who don't know who Curtis Daniels is, who is Curtis Daniels?
Well, babe, as I always say before, yeah, you never let you never speak for nobody else. Exactly. If the man's alive, okay, let him speak.
Let him speak. Okay, let me bring in our other guest, our co-host here. I think this is Lady G. Is this you?
Y'all out there? Big up, big up. Greetings, greetings.
Hello?
Can you hear me? Who is 404?
We got you, Kurt. Come on in, brother.
Oh, okay.
Welcome.
Yeah, I'm here. That's my number, the 404.
Okay, and this is Curtis Daniel?
Yep, that's me.
Well, how are you doing? Great to have you here.
Pleasure to be here. I'm doing great.
Excellent.
Yeah, yeah. Welcome home, Kurt. Welcome home, man. Happy homecoming, man. We miss you, bro. We're gonna big you up tonight, man. You and Bob, y'all doing big things, great things, and yeah, man, it's worthy of honor. And plus, a lot of people from the neighborhood have been anticipating hooking up with each other, man, and just saying hello to each other, you know. And a lot of people have passed in the last couple of months, so man, we got a lot of, you know, a lot to hash out here, man, but it's a beautiful thing to have you here, man. It's not every day you get to talk to a CEO of any company, especially a recording studio. You know, y'all be busy putting in that work, so thank you again, brother. Thank you so much. And I ordered Rosario's pizza for everybody. It's ethereal, though. You know, it's an etheric pizza. You know, if you ain't used to eating air biscuits and air pizzas, then you probably ain't going to enjoy it. But, yeah, I got Rosario's for everybody.
You know, when we grew up, then we started Rosario pizzas was about $23 back in the 1990s. I can imagine how much they cost now with all this inflation.
Yeah. Yeah, it's more expensive than a tire, bro.
Yeah, I'll tell you.
Yeah, yeah. So a Lady G around, Mabel, can we continue? Is she around?
Let me see if I can pull Lady G. Is this her? I'm not sure. I didn't put her number.
702.
Hi there, it's Lady G. It's Lyric in the flesh.
Hi.
Yes, I am. Hi.
Thanks for joining
us. Hey, Queen. Hey, Curtis.
Yes.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good.
Yeah,
all right. Eric,
y'all
it's great
introduce
to
yourself.
Be on the show.
I want y'all two to meet. I grew up in the same neighborhood. A lot of us, you know, I didn't meet. I knew about Lyric in the neighborhood. I knew about her pretty well, but we never met until only about 4 or 5 years ago. So y'all introduce yourself to each other. tell Curtis.
I'm Curtis. I went to Del Amo. I went to Carnegie. And then I went to Banning. Mm-hmm. We lived over off of Vera Street, on Abilla Street. And I left home. When I left in 1990, I went on a football scholarship to Michigan State. And I hadn't been back since, man. So I'll be missing a lot of everything. And so I was asking, Eric, where did you grow up? You grew up in the Patch, or are you just from Carson?
Oh, yes. I'm from the Patch. I lived off of, 216th Place. but I went to St. Philomena's and I went to St. Anthony High. So you didn't see much of me. But you know all of our peeps are the same. Like my niece Shauna, who lives right around the corner. You know, she hung out with Sheree.
Shauna was my first girlfriend. Shauna live out here in Georgia. I just seen her.
Yes.
About 2 weeks ago. Yeah.
Wow. But yeah, that's my that's my brother's daughter. That's how close we are. I lived right across the street from the Pangelinans, and I was married to Bud.
I know Bud. Okay.
Yeah. So. It's a very small world. So I don't know if you knew who Nacho was back in the day from La Loma. I'm repping.
I didn't. Okay. I saw George just posted somebody had passed from La Loma earlier this week, but I didn't know who that was.
Right. And so their generation was a little bit older than ours. I stayed in the house for the most, but I started becoming more musically inclined with Harbor City, Howard Scott, Scotty, and Mantan, and Pookie, and the dancing and all that back in the day. We had a band, and then I also worked with the Knights of Turntables back in the day. But that was many moons ago. So we hear that you are doing things in the music industry. I know we had... Danny Bradley's young daughter, she came out there and you did some magic.
Yeah, that was cool for them to come out there. I always wish people from home would come. I mean, we try to pay homage to the name by putting in work for the patch. And so when anybody from home, let alone just L.A., but if they come from the patch, you know, I tell them to walk in the door and act like they own the place. It's home. It's an honor. I mean, I really like when people from home come. I mean, whether, we've done all the Snoop Mem, the Nate Dogs, the Dog Pound, Mac 10, everybody and their mama, even from the Bay Area. But when people that I grew up with that come from Carson, we try to make it extra special. So, you know, it's always cool to see the homies from home. And especially if they got some kids that's coming up in the industry, I just try to overextend myself and be a resource for them. And it was cool for them to come down. They came down. They bought all the merchandise we had. They got videos shot, and they made some good records. So it was cool.
And before we move on, I just want to put my little 2 cents in there. You was in my neck of the woods when you was in school in Michigan. So I'm in Michigan.
I mean, as long as you green, it's all good. I always say I did a five-year bid. It was a humbling experience coming from L.A. going to Michigan because, you know, in L.A., when we left the house, we just was worried about what neighborhood we was going into and what you was wearing. But in Michigan, you literally had to worry about the weather, and I had never seen my breath before. And I thought that they were going to cancel practice in school when it snowed, but it wasn't like that out there, so it was real.
Nope. Well, that was good. That was a good experience for you. So I want to know, how did you get into the industry? What did you go to school for? Did you go to school for that, or did? Or what?
My degree is in psychology, but I mean, I always was doing. I just love music, so I wasn't talented enough to do it, but I was always around it. And one of our other homies from the patch, he didn't start going to school with us till junior high, was Raz Kaz. And Raz started rapping, and I thought until this day, I think he's one of the dopest MCs, period. And I thought he was one of the best rappers I had ever heard. And one of our other homies from the patch, Bob, had got drafted by the Falcons, 8th player overall, and Bob was like the highest paid lineman in NFL history, and he had a whole bunch of money, and I knew Raz was trying to do something, so I told Bob that Bob had bought some equipment and had it in his basement. He wasn't doing nothing with it, and I was like, you need to send that out to the homie Raz. And I think Bob probably was like, when he got drafted, he was 19 or something, and I was a year behind him, or, well, you know, I was about 20, he was 21, 22, and we were just young and naive, and we had heard that if you cut a demo, you can get a record deal. So we just said we would cut a demo on Raz, and nobody wanted to sign him. So it forced us to make our own record label, and we put a A and a B side out. It created a bidding war, and we ended up signing him with Priority. You know what I mean? They had Rick Rubin riding around picking Raz up in the Bentley in Carson, and that's kind of what got us started. You know what I mean?
Okay. Go ahead, Lady G or Eric.
Rick Rubin was in the patch, right? I'm not surprised, man. Listen, when I was in elementary school, all right, there was this cat named Rodney Annoy, all right? He was in the elementary, he was almost already 6 feet tall, about 200 pounds. Rodney can go up and down the basketball court like a Magic Johnson, passing the ball behind his back, dribbling between his legs, doing no-look passes. Then he'd be laughing because, you know, them Samoans, boy, Islanders, they got that laugh, boy. They be cracking up laughing even when nothing ain't funny. And, man, I always remember that. Then, about 20 years later, I turn on the TV. There's this big old Samoan jumping off the rope onto the canvas, squashing the dude. I said, man, who the hell is that? Turn out it's my homeboy, Rodney Annoy, better known as Yokozuna. Man, that's the kind of neighborhood I grew up in. Then we used to go to the Carson Twin Cinema, and, you know, and how it started, we used to pop, like, we used to meet rival. I wouldn't say right. It wasn't about no games, but if you had it out with a dude or you wanted a girl or something like that, you know, you had to meet him up there at Carson Twin, pop lock against him. That's what we was on. We was on that pop locking. And it
was
big.
We used to go up there and watch all them karate movies. And I remember that was one of the first places that had Donkey Kong. So we used to go up there and Carson Twin Cinema,
get
dropped off from your parents and play them video games. Yeah.
Hey Kurt, Rosario still got that Pac-Man machine, man, the same one.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah. But anyway, one day I was watching Jackie Brown, a Quentin Tarantino movie, and I seen the bell bonds. I hollered out in the theater when I seen the bell bonds. I said, "That's Carson." Oh, man, you know how I'd be real quiet in the theater. I couldn't hold it. I said, "That's Carson." Oh, man,
you talking
then
about
I
that
seen
bell,
the Lama
Mall. You talking about that Bell's Bond place that used to be by Taco Bell?
Absolutely, exactly. Right there down the street from Carnegie.
There it is.
Yeah, man. So, you know, it's just a testament of it. We almost grew up in like a Detroit Motown type of environment. You know, a lot of talented people, a lot of people that looked out for each other. I tell you what, talking about them days where everybody was your parent, man, we didn't know that moms them had a coalition with other parents in the neighborhood. If you see my child over there doing something out of the ordinary that he wouldn't do at my house, tear his butt up. And, man, I'm talking about, man, that seemed like they had the internet back then because, boy, if you go somewhere and do something, by the time you make it back to the house, moms and pops know, boy, they already know. So, yeah, we had internet way before the internet. You know, I don't think we have it now, that community like that, but, man, we grew up in that community. I want to big up all moms and pops from our neighborhood, man. Very, very decent, loyal people, man, to their children, to the function that we used to have at the park. Everybody used to meet at the park. They used to take us to Magic Mountain, Griffith Park, the La Brea Tar Pits, you know, free lunches. Everybody in the summertime, that's where we used to meet. I remember watching Cooley High at Dolphin Park and seeing all my old homeboys with tears in their eyes, you know, big, tough men crying from Cooley High. I'll never forget that, man. That's still a bomb movie when you watch it. It still brings tears to your eyes. But anyway, a brother who started the Black Stuntman Association in Hollywood, Mr. Walters, I want to big up the Walters and the whole Walters family. You know, he was in that movie, and he started the stuntman at Dolphin Park. So, man, I'm just bigging up where we came from, man. It's a lot to talk about, but definitely the foundation, man, is a beautiful thing. You know, We never forget each other. I see people
passing. I don't know if people know. I always tell people, you know, I always say Carson is, I mean, I done lived a few places, but I always thought as I got older, you know, when I Google and look at the city of Carson, and I remember it's probably about 12 years ago, but one of the rare facts that I didn't know that made it unique, it was saying that Carson was one of only three cities in the country where the median household income of the black people was higher than the white people. And so it's like a lot of times when people don't, if they're not familiar with California or L.A. and you tell them you're from Carson, they think you from South Central or for Compton. And I'd be telling them Carson's a little bit different. You know, every single person that I knew, for the most part, definitely on my block and on our, most of the people around us, they had two parents in the house. And all of them houses now is probably some $800,000 houses. And I just thought that we had some, Carson had a great park system. You know what I mean? We had about 9 or 10 different parks that we played in. It was affordable. And like you said, when we was breaking and all that stuff, they used to open the park up to community centers and do things to support the kids. And so I always thought it was a special place. And I always give a lot of credit about, you know, how we are and the accomplishments that we had because we grew up in Carson. So, yeah, it was a great place, man. My parents still live there, and they've been living in their house since 1974. So, yeah, I love Carson. I wish we could at times we thought about opening the studio up at home, but we never got around to it, man. It would have been dope to do it, but we didn't pull the trigger.
All right.
Well, keep that on the table. Keep that on the table, brother. Mm-hmm. Keep it on the table. Yeah. Go ahead, Lyric.
No, I was just going to say, you know, you just never know how things may be, you know. It would be wonderful. I mean, although Carson is, you know, very different, a lot of us has moved out or moved away or, you know, unfortunately we've lost quite a few people very recently. You know, it's still a nice sentiment, you know, to be able to do that, bring it back to the community in some kind of form, you know. I know I was like
you.
We'd always use music. Music is so healing, you know.
And I would like to know, with the studio, how did it get really popular? Was it word of mouth, or was it your advertising? How did you make it grow so big?
We really, you know, I always say, man, when I go back and look at things, we did a lot of things right. We didn't know the names of them, but I think the first thing that we did is we were able to identify who our customers were. And more importantly, we knew who they weren't. And so when I graduated, I was 23, and we was only like 2 to 3 miles away from the AU Center, and that's where Clark, Morehouse, and Spelman are all together. And all the fine girls would be over there, and they'd be at all the parties. But we knew that it didn't make any sense to take any flyers or go up there and promote to them because those people couldn't afford or they weren't our clients. So when we started off, we didn't have the internet or the email, so we was doing faxing to record labels, phone calls, cold calls, and flying up to New York and L.A., and we just literally targeted record labels, producers, managers, artists, and publishing companies. And, you know, we lucked up because Bob was playing football, and we identified who the biggest artist was in Atlanta for rap was, and it was Outkast. And we figured if we could get them to come record in the studio, they would put our name on their album, and we knew they was going to sell a couple million albums. So we found out that they were Falcon fans, and we invited them to the game. And the lady at the label wanted like 23 tickets, and she wanted to come pick them up. And I told her that anybody that wanted to go to the game had to come to the studio and get their tickets.
Oh, okay.
So, man, it was Outkast. Yeah. It was Goody Mob. It was TLC. It was Organized Noise, Monica. And so all these people came to the studio, and we was only 3 miles from the stadium, and a lot of them left their cars there and carpooled to the stadium, and then they came back after the game, and we did our first session with Outkast, and then they just continued to work there, so it gave us instant credibility, and we kind of just went from there because we, you know, Organized Noise was producing everybody at the time. And so, you know, we always focused on selling customer service, and we provided a good product. And at the time, there weren't a lot of black studio owners our age of the culture. So these people were going into these rock studios, and these owners didn't like to see 15, 20, 30 young black dudes in there. And they thought that the bass was too heavy and it was tearing up their speakers. And so we just came in. We was the same age as all of them. And we was at their concerts and they was at his games and we was working together, man. And it was a golden time. I mean, we hit the ground. I always tell people we really only missed one monumental album in Atlanta, which was the first Outkast. We weren't in existence. But everything after that, Elevators and everything from then on, you know, we had opportunity to work on. So from Outkast to Luda to Jeezy to Gucci to the baby, Lil Baby, to everything that's going on, we've had an opportunity to work on those projects. So it just grew word of mouth, and delivering a great product helped it spread. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I see the studio, you know, pictures of the studio, state-of-the-art equipment that I'm seeing there. And so what artists could you say that you kind of like working with, or what was somebody that was kind of difficult to work with, or you didn't have that kind of problem?
I mean, you know, you can say the same thing for both of them. I mean, me from being from home, you know, when Dre came out, Breon called me Prescott. Everybody know Breon now because he was dancing on that Teddy Riley video. And anyway, but Breon, he called me and he was like, Dre, I want to bring him to Atlanta, and I'm only bringing him to you. And so they booked out our whole facility. We had like four different rooms for Dr. Dre to come, and he was there for a whole week. And then, you know, when Scarface came and E-40 and really Twista, sometimes I was wondering if them people could really rap like that, like Twista and E-40. And so I would sit in the room and really see if they can rap that fast, and they could. But for me personally, it was funny he mentioned them, but I was a huge fan of high school of Regina Bell. I loved her. And when she came in, I had so much respect for her. I was scared to speak to her the first four or five times she came. And then about the fifth time, I finally got the courage to tell her the story of how I used to fall asleep. And I popped my tape listening to her. She just used to make me relax after football games. Okay. And she was so kind. And because she was so kind, she relaxed me enough that when Regina Bell walked in there, I was comfortable enough to speak to her. Difficult clients, man, all of them have their challenges. I mean, when you do, there wasn't a lot of people that wanted Wu-Tang in their studio, but we dealt with them. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, real recognized real. They may tear up somebody else's place, but, you know, it wasn't a problem. The last person that we probably had the most problem out of, ironically, was Young Thug. And just took a minute. It just took a minute for him to understand that we're not like the other studios, so we have certain rooms that you can't smoke in. And then, you know, some of his people was crashing into the gates. They were just being wild, and then we put them out.
Right.
And then he had to go somewhere else, and he realized his music wasn't coming out like it was, so he apologized, and then he kind of started adhering to the policies or whatever. So most of the people, if we do have a problem, you know, I don't really text them. I will pull them out because most of them are artists and they're there to put on the show. So if you try to confront them or talk to them in front of all their homeboys, they're going to buck up on you. But if you pull them to the side and have a man-to-man conversation, and I'd be like, look, gang, I'm from L.A. And, like, I'm not no corporate dude. I'm like this, and y'all ain't going to be doing that up here. And then they'll be like, man, I respect the fact that you came down here and then call me on the phone, and, man, I'm going to honor your place. So we've worked with all the difficult clients that people don't want to work with over the years. Every last one of them are a challenge because they have, and a lot of times it ain't the artists, but it's their homeboys and their entourage. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Did y'all have to deal with the ladies, the groupies, or y'all had a policy that?
No, they would literally record. You know, most of those people like to work from 6 to 5 in the morning or something. So a lot of times they would hit the clubs at midnight.
Okay.
And they would bring the they'll bring the club back with them at 2 o'clock. We had all these years.
We went on
27 years. We had one incident, and it brought a lawsuit where a girl said some people from a Cash Money session had touched her inappropriately. But for the most part, it'd be girls up in there, but, you know, they come because they want to come and they know the people. It's not like it's open to the public. So everybody in there has been invited to come up there. Yeah.
Right, right. Lady G, you want to say something?
Oh, I'm just enjoying all of this. Like, you know, I can't wait to get on up there. with my son, St. Rose, which is actually Shauna's first cousin. So we're looking forward to coming out and checking out the scenery.
You know what? Shauna told me, I don't know if it was her cousin or her brother, but she told me, is he a producer or artist? She told me he'd been in the studio and he seen me, but he didn't speak to me. And she was like, you better go talk to him. And he had some reason why he was like, he didn't want to. She was like, go in there and tell him, you know, we family and you from the patch and da-da-da. And she said he probably been up there like 6 times, but he ain't never came and spoke to me. So I don't know who he is. You know what I mean?
I think that's someone else. Mine just started singing. So he's just sitting. And he's from Cleveland, actually. I ended up having stage 4 cancer. And he actually got sent to stay with his grandparents in Cleveland. And he's been pretty much doing everything on his own out that way.
Okay.
And we've been hearing about you. So I'm just like, you know what, we gotta do this. But he's taking that full throttle right now. And so, you know, we'd like to come on out there. So can you tell us a little bit about your studio, like how big they are? And this is just for the public, just for people out there who are interested in coming out there and recording. What can we expect, and how do we get to you? How do we find you? Where are you at? I know how to find you.
I mean, our website is just, Patchwork. It's PATCHWERK. And then you can do a virtual tour, just like if you're buying a house, you can walk through the whole studio. Also, our YouTube page is Patchwork Recording Studios. We put up a ton of content, and then all our social media is Patchwork Studios. But we kind of look at studios in 3 ranges. We look at studios like a home range studio, a mid range studio, and a world class facility. So we have 3 kind of main rooms. 2 of them are kind of like mid range, and then the other one is like the world class facility, and that's where we're doing the Beyoncé's, the Alicia Keys, and all of that stuff. Our rooms are priced anywhere from, you know, we got a production room that's $30 an hour, and then our most expensive room is like $175 an hour. So, you know, the best thing is just go on the website, and or you can email us. Our staff email is pwr@patchwork.com, and we can send out an information package. But we post a lot on our social media, and we do free studio tours. So if anybody's ever in Atlanta or they want to stop by, they can just call, set up an appointment, and we'd be happy to walk them through the studio and show them around.
Sounds good. That sounds really good. Thank you for that.
Alrighty. Hey, I called Regina Bell. I called Regina Bell, Kurt. I called Regina Bell to come on this radio show with us right here on Truth to Power, man. It was about 3 years ago, and she answered the phone. It was in the morning. She answered the phone, man. She said, You want to do an interview with me? She said, child, my hair is all over my face, and I'm on my way to get me a little something to eat, and can you give me a little while to straighten up? I said, no, ma'am, not now. We don't want the interview now, you know, it coming up. You know, I want to talk to you first and kind of schedule it. She said, okay, well, yeah, book it. Book it at my website, my book it agency. Man. I've never heard that.
She's a minister, a pastor. She married John Battle. He used to play for the Hawks. But I got her number. I mean, did y'all ever do the interview?
Yeah, no, we never did, man. I had to talk to you about that, man. That would be fire. But yeah, man, she was cool though, man. She was real cool with me, you know. And I felt just like you. I was kind of intimidated. I said, man, I'm finna call Regina Bell, man. She answered, man. I kind of froze up a little bit. I was like,
yeah, I
but she was
Regina,
cool. She was real cool.
I said, I said, Regina, I was scared of you. She was like, why? I said, I just had so much respect for you. And I said, man, I've been scared to talk to you. And she was like, I'm just regular. Like I said, she put me at ease. And it did. My wife had passed probably about 12 years ago. She was 35. I'm remarried. My wife had flew over to Africa. She was working with Cheryl Lee Ralph doing her one-woman plays. And on the way back, I think the flight was supposed to go from Africa to D.C., then D.C. to Atlanta. And they said my wife stood up, caught a blood clot. They landed the plane in Boston, and she was in the hospital 12 days, never woke up, died on passed on my dad's birthday. And So when we got married, we got married to our songs was Patti LaBelle songs. And when she passed, I had Nikki Gilbert from Brownstone sing the Love and Need and Want You and If Only You Knew at her funeral. And so when I saw Patti, because Regina had put me at ease, I was able to go up to Patti, and I told Patti the story about Regina and about me and my wife. And she started crying and gave me a hug, and she was like, thank God for my sister, because she was so nice to you. You didn't think that I was going to be a B, and you was approached me and shared that story with me, and I appreciate it. So, yeah, you know, it was a cool story. I love Patti LaBelle, and I don't really play the songs now, but every once in a while they come up, and I always tell people I feel like my wife speaks through me through music and Black Butterflies. Mm. So every once in a while these Black Butterflies fly right in front of me. One time one of them landed on me, and then every once in a while I'll just hear the song will come on, and it, you know, and I know I need to sit down and go see her. So yeah, so those were huge for me. And then Farrakhan was there. I don't know if a lot of people know that he plays the violin, and so I don't really sit in the studio that much, but I sat next to him for 2 straight days for 8 hours a day, and that man was telling me so many stories, you know, and those was powerful moments. So I don't really have a lot of pictures with people, but I took one with Farrakhan, I took one with Patti, and that might be the only two that I kind of went and asked to take a picture with him out of respect for him. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I was scared to go. I wasn't scared, but I didn't go in there and speak to Beyonce.
A little nervous.
For 3 days. Well, I mean, it's a weird thing. It's like sometimes when you, as the owner, when you go in and talk to somebody, now that person will only want to talk to you. They won't talk to the managers or anything. So anything that they need, they cut over the system. And so you kind of cut the thing. It's almost like it's a balance. Like if you go to a restaurant, some people feel offended if the chef don't come out and come to their table and talk to them. Some people feel like the chef is irritating them. We just out here having a good time. So sometimes the bigger clients, once they meet me, then everything that they need, they want to cut the line and they want to call you for it. So a lot of times if it's like Alicia Keys, I ain't going in there. Mariah Carey, I'm not going in there. Beyonce, I'm not going in there, because now every time they need something, instead of asking the engineer or the manager or the front desk person, they just want to call you directly. And so it's like a fine balance that you got to kind of play with that. I mean, I'll be sitting at the back desk and people just walk by me and they may think I'm an intern, and it's not a problem. I can keep working and doing what I'm doing. Soon as somebody say, oh, that's one of the owners, then they want to come talk to you, have a conversation, get your number, and then every time they need something, they start calling you, and that I don't really like that. I be wanting people to just treat me the same way, talk to me the same way, whether you thought I owned the place or not. And a lot of times when we do like a lot of filming and movies and reality shows, you know, them people just be, they be jumping me off. And then 20 minutes later, somebody tell them I own the studio, and they want to act like they went to Carnegie with me. You know what I mean? And I don't really. we didn't grow up like that. Yeah, we ain't grow up like that, man. So I just try to treat everybody accordingly and let the system work how it's supposed to work. And over the years, that's one of the biggest things I learned, man. You tell somebody you own the studio, man, they want to call you when they run out of toilet paper. You know, they want to talk to you about everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everybody want to talk to the boss.
Yeah, well, the boss was sitting there for two straight days, and you ain't speak to me.
But that's good. Wow. You know, that's good that you're regular. You know, a lot of people get to certain positions, and they head be so far in the cloud, they be so untouchable, you can't even, you know, reach them. But that's good that you keep it. You keep it real. That's real good.
Yep. Well, my mom said, no better than, no worse than.
Go ahead, Lady G. You have something you want to say? Or
I'm just listening. I think that this is really informative. It's just wonderful to see that this came out of the patch, really. Carson, Long Beach, Los Angeles. It's just wonderful.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to know, did you come up with the name, with the name of your recording company? Let the people know.
I mean, we're from the neighborhood that we're from is called the Patch or the Cabbage Patch, CPG, Cabbage Patch Gangsters. Mm-hmm. Like Eric was saying, before the houses were built in our neighborhoods, it was a whole bunch of Cabbage Patch fields. So, you know, growing up there in our neighborhoods, they was Bloods, and if people were saying they was going to put in work for the Patch, they was probably going to beat somebody up or do a drive-by. We wanted to honor our neighborhood and where we were from, so we just flipped it, and instead of, you know, saying we was putting in work for the Patch, and we named it Patchwork. And so everything that we do is to honor where we came from, and any opportunity that we get to tell people the story about where we from, you know, we tell them that. And so we've been, you know, 27 years in, and I felt like, you know, just shining the name on our neighborhood in a good light. I mean, like I said, the gang banging is one thing, but to do something positive and employ all these people over these years, and all of these people that you wouldn't even think of from your favorite rapper know about the Patch because, you know, we've been putting in work for the Patch for all these years. So that's where we got the name from.
And so did the studio bring you to where you at now? It's in Georgia, correct? Or did you bring the patch to Georgia?
Yeah, we basically, you know, Banning was a football school, Banning and Carson, so me and Bob got football scholarships, and we ended up in Georgia because he got drafted by the Falcons. And then so we just decided to set up the studio here
just
in Atlanta.
There.
And lucked up because that was right when everything was turning. It went from the East Coast to the West Coast. And then when we got here in 95, that was right when everything started popping out of here. And really, you know, we gave people the facility to get that type of sound because they didn't have any professional sound in commercial studios to do their records out of. So we literally, like when we opened up, you can literally – hear what records that were coming out of Atlanta sounded like before we opened. And once we opened, because before us, they might used to do records here, but they would have to fly to New York or L.A. to get their records mixed and mastered. And when we built this, you know, $3.5 million facility, it allowed our artists to stay at home. And they started being able to do all the records, recording, mixing, and mastering here in Atlanta. And that really changed the game. You know what I mean? I mean, quite humbly.
Yeah.
I mean, I always tell people if you did your homework, there's BP, which is before Patchwork, and then there's after Patchwork. And, you know, I'm attuned enough to know what it looked like before we did what we did, and I'm attuned to know what influence and impact we had on the city and the culture and the music. So, we changed a lot, man. We changed a lot before we got here. There weren't any 100% commercial studios. So if you wanted to work in a studio here before us, you know, Jermaine Dupri had a studio, but you could only work in his studio if you were signed to So-So Def. And then Dallas Austin had a studio, but you can only work there if you were signed to Rowdy. And then LaFace had a studio. It was called Studio LaCoco, but you had to be signed to LaFace. And then Bobby Brown had a studio that if you didn't know Bobby, you couldn't get in. So when we came in, we were just 100% commercial, so anybody can work here. And that just changed the game, and people weren't doing that before we did it.
Yeah, I see that. That just shows when you're creative and think outside the box, look where it take you. That's good. Perfect. I got a song that I want you to listen to. Let's see.
Everybody was on Anita Baker. Mickey Howard was popping, uh-huh. But if you ever go back and look at Regina's videos, it was no gimmicks. She didn't dance. She didn't have the hype clothes. She might not have been the flyest, but her instrument was her voice. And even when I was listening to that song, it sounded like three different people were singing because she was all over the place. I wish people would show her more love, but I love Regina Bell.
All right.
Hey, Kurt, I guarantee you we'll show her some love. We'll show her big love, man. That'll be a huge night, man. Maybe you can join us if we get her on for an interview. That'll be tight, man. We'll work on that. But that was Regina Bell and Curtis Daniels. Y'all heard Curtis back there singing?
Y'all can hear me singing, my bad. I'm sorry.
That was a nice duet.
That's all right.
My bad.
No, you good. You good, man. That was good. We heard you enjoying it. That was fire. Yeah. It's all good. Okay, hey, Bev, open up the lines. I think some family want to talk to Kurt.
Okay, all right. Now, I did see some hands here. They got to put their hands back up. Somebody. Oh, here they go. All right. All right, 346, 434, area code 346.
Hello?
Yeah.
Hello? How you doing?
We hear you. We're doing
all right. Greetings to all. What's up, Curtis?
What up, man? Who is this?
Oh, come on, man. You know who this is. This is Emerson James.
Emerson, man. I didn't want to. I was about to tell him.
Wow.
I grew up with your brother. His Mr. James wasn't no joke, boy. He was our football coach. Hey, Mr. James had the lonely end, boy. He used to have a standing receiver out on the sideline. We used to play Stevenson Park. I hadn't talked
That's
to Anderson
right.
in 50 million years,
That's right.
man. What's good with you?
Oh, man, I'm chilling. I'm hanging, man. Hey, that's what I wanted to really call in, too, to give a shout-out to your parents, man. You had some of the best parents that ever lived.
I appreciate
Plus your brother
that,
and your sister. You know what I'm saying? Shonda and Marty. You know, your whole family was good, man. But I'm just saying your parents, I want to give a shout-out to your parents.
Oh, I appreciate it, man. I'm going to tell them I talked to you. I hadn't talked to you in so long. My dad going to laugh when I tell him. I got to get your number when we get off the phone. I didn't know Eric was your brother. So when he was telling me, I was like, where did you live? And he was like, man, my brother Emerson. I said, oh, man, I ain't even know that. But, yeah, where you at? They told you in Texas?
Yeah, I'm in Texas. I'm in Missouri City.
Okay, yeah, I talked to Willis the other day. He told me, I think one day he had tried to call you on three-way. But I'm gonna get your number from Eric or from Willis, and then I'm gonna call you.
All right, that's a bet. I'm gonna let some more people get at you, man. But stay up, bro. I love you, man.
Yeah, love you too, man. It'd be good to see you. I ain't been home since 2018, but I'm gonna have to see you at some point.
That's a bet. That's a bet.
All right, man. Good to hear
all
from
all
you.
All right. Bro.
All right, Em. Big up, Em.
All right.
Yeah. Family love.
Mr. James.
Yeah, Papa wasn't no joke. Hey, Curtis, Papa wasn't no joke, huh?
Nah. He was a strong black man. I mean, that's what you grow up there.
We came up in the neighborhood. Go ahead. My bad.
No, I was just saying, it's a lot when parents with multiple kids take time out to volunteer to coach at them parks and stuff like that. And, you know, him and Mr. Pearson and Mr. Torrance and Mr. Battle and different people like that, man. And, you know, and our parents trusted us around those men, you know what I mean? So it was cool to have those people around. I mean, it don't take long. I remember them, man. I remember all them days when we played. I remember the uniforms that we used to wear. And I remember how he used to be yelling at us too, but he was disciplined, man. He was trying to keep the boys out of trouble, and he ain't hold his tongue when he was talking to us either.
Yeah,
Pops wasn't no joke.
Yeah. Salute to Ed James, man, and Mr. Lange, Mr. Trotter, Mr. Dunlap, Andrews, Pearson, Van Langefeld, Porres, Garcia. Man, so many shout out Brockington. I could keep up the Kevin Panda's name. I made so many shout out Gus Hernandez, big up Gus, Nando, Martin Street Crew, Cornelius, Duncan's, man, so many family, man. Peddler, Art Gallen, Augie and Bree, and Door. Oh, Door, man. I want to say big up to Door, man. Augie and Stephanie and Brian's mom, man. What a cool person, man.
It was funny when you was talking about Brett real quick. When I was getting recruited, that was my dream school. I wanted to go to Oregon because of Brett. And I remember I had the opportunity. They recruited me, and they really wanted me to go there. And I until this day, I'll be feeling like I made a mistake, but I didn't go. I took my trip up there, but Brett made me believe that – well, he made me know, not even believe, that it was possible for somebody from our neighborhood to go D1. I mean, we had a whole bunch of other people, but I was seeing Brett all the time, and we was playing basketball at the park and stuff like that. So when I seen him go D1, that put the dream in all of our heads, me, Bob, and everybody else. Like, Brett got up out of here, we can do it. And so God rest his soul, man. I liked his and wished him a happy heavenly birthday as well when it popped up on Facebook.
Absolutely, yeah. For me, it was Danny Andrews and Mike Allo, Keith McDonald.
Oh, yeah.
Man, Derek. Yeah. A lot of Derek Pearson, man. A lot of, man. The neighborhood is full of talent, man. That's what makes you. It's good, just like Motown. You see all the competition they had at Motown, push people to be better than they ever could be. Man, yeah. that's cool to grow up in a neighborhood like that where people is at the top of their game and they push you to be, you know, excellent, man. So, yeah, big ups. And it's not just our neighborhood, man. It's all over the country. But, you know, especially to hone it in and still have it, have so many people still attached to that. You know, it's bomb, man. I love it.
Yeah, Keith is the one that got me to leave. Keith was one of the last people I talked to, Keith McDonald, and I remember I went down there, and I was thinking about leaving or staying home, and Keith, he had the most profound statement. I was 18, and Keith said, if you got a chance to leave to go to school, leave. He was like, Freddie, they called me Freddie. He said, man, when you leave and come back, all these knuckleheads going to be on the same corner doing the same thing. He's like, if you got an opportunity to go out of state to go to school, because I think he went to UCLA, and he was like, leave. And then I think I took a trip to Illinois. I went to Iowa State. I went to Michigan State, and I was going to go to Syracuse. And he's the one that told me, he said, man, when you got to get on the plane, you got to get on the plane. It don't matter if you're going an hour and a half or 3 hours. So just go where you want to go. And that was one of the reasons I left home, because he told me to leave. And I was like, it was so simple, it made sense to me. It was like, I promise you, you're not going to miss nothing, man. You're going to leave. You're going to be gone. You're going to come back 6 months later for Christmas break, and your homie's going to be doing the same thing they was doing when you left. And he's like, you're going to be done grew so much by moving away from your parents and being independent. And, yeah, that was some good advice from one of the homies four houses down, Keith McDonald.
Yeah, man. And his mom, man, is such a super – just a super person, man. Yeah, man, Miss McDonald and Mr. Mills. I didn't even know about, man, Brian Mills told me who his pops was, man, in that park over there in Delamo, named after his dad. I'm still finding out stuff about people we grew up with, man. I didn't even know Raz Kaz lived in the hood. I didn't know Earl the Pearl Monroe lived in the neighborhood. Oh, man, I was like, man, this is ridiculous, man. So, yeah. Man, big ups, man. Big ups. Hey, Bev, let's if we don't have no more callers, let's do another round of music. Let's keep that music going. That's what we're here for.
Okay. And I also wanted to ask Curtis, Daniel, in the years that you've been in the business, I know you see the music change. Is the change coming from the artists, or is it coming from the people in the business? You know, like they,
man, I think it's really, like, in my opinion, I mean, that's a tough question, but I'll say this, and I'll be honest with how I feel about it. You know, and we grew up in Carson or whatever, and both my parents, I ain't gangbang or nothing, but I thought the music industry was better when we had, you know, when Suge was in it, when, you know, Dame Dash was in it, when Irv Gotti was in it, when Jay Prince and all this stuff. It had more more ethics and more morality to it. I mean, it had to, back in the days when we came up, you couldn't be a record label and didn't have any muscle because people would take your money and do what they were supposed to do. But nowadays, it's like it was a conscious effort, I believe, in the music industry to get those type of people out of the industry. So you've seen Def Jam try to separate Jay-Z from Dame Dash. You've seen, you know, Irv Gotti, the Rough Riders, all these people, Suge Knight and them. I mean, Suge did the most amazing thing. There's record labels like Universal that got 200, 300 artists, and they barely have six of them go platinum. Suge had a roster of seven or eight artists, and all of them was going platinum doing soundtracks. But those guys operated with a certain set of street code and morals that they brought into the music industry. And now the people that run the labels kind of wanted them people out, because if they told them they was going to do something or was supposed to do something and didn't do it, there was some real consequences and repercussions for it. And so they kind of got all of the rough people out of our industry and start putting these soft, funny type people in these positions. And then they start kind of, you know, because those people, even if they were street people and bad, they still was doing the food drives. They still gave out money, supported the community, and they kind of balanced off their negativity by doing good things. Now they got these people in here who don't have any morals or any standards, and they really think it's about them, and it's a lot of ignorance. And so those people would be like, look, you're going to make one of these songs, but you're going to do a song about your mama too, and you're going to do this. Now it's unbalanced, and it's rewarding ignorance. And so the ignorant people are the ones that are getting the deals, and they're kind of ignorant, and they're not putting out great messages for our people. So it's just getting dumber and dumber. Right. I was telling somebody the other day, it's like if you go see a female rap, I'd be like, is your butt rapping? Because they turn their butt to the to the fans, the whole performance, and you know what I mean? And I was telling somebody it was sad to see Ciara. I'm like, Ciara got a $54 million husband, and she on top of the Jeep with her butt slapping or whatever, and it makes you think that as a woman, that's the only way that you can get some play in the industry. So I think it's from the people that, that before with the street people was controlling the content that we put out, and they balanced it. Now it's people that ain't from our culture that's signing these deals.
That's right.
They just letting they just letting the garbage go out, and they ain't balancing out because they don't care about us.
Exactly. That's what I thought. Exactly what I thought was going on. Yeah.
Yep. They ran all the real cats out the music industry.
So what about the new people that's coming in? I mean, is it a way that you can kind of turn that around and, you know, put real people back in and not all that what they stuff that they promoting?
It's kind of hard because the people that when Ice Cube and NWA and them was running up in them offices in Priority and tearing them up, or when you know Dame Dash was going in there turning over tables cussing people out, those are the same. Those are the people now that are running the labels. So it's the same gatekeepers. And I think that they were scarred so much that they ain't really trying to let that element back into the game. It's only three. It got smaller. It's only three labels now. It's three major labels, and you know they put black people in positions that they call them vice president of urban music or president of this, but those people don't have any decision making powers. They can't sign anybody.
Right.
They can't cut a check. They can't do a deal. They put all these black people in the front of black music. But then it's a few people that ain't black that's really running things, and they don't have any control of it. Yeah, well. So I don't know where it's going to come from. I think. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I just said I don't
know
where the change is going to come from, because by the time that those people realize that they're delivering these messages and they wake up, then those same labels don't want to do business with them anymore. You know what I mean? And they kind of control all the streaming and the radio and all that stuff. So if an artist, that's what I'll be telling people, New Edition didn't forget how to sing. Keith Sweat ain't forget how to sing. Anita Baker still can sing. But what happens is they get too smart and they learn the business, and these record labels can't rob them like they were before. So they would rather sign an ignorant 16 or 17-year-old drug head dude that they can create $1 million budget on and lie to that kid and tell them that, hey, we spent $1 million on your album, you owe us forever. Whereas if you go try to tell that to Mary J. Blige or Dr. Dre, they're going to be like, nope, I got my own studio, I got my own producers, I got my own whatever. We got $1 million budget. We only spent $200,000. You can't pull that on people. So a lot of times, if you be looking at it, these people don't get less talented or get worse. They just get too smart. And then the record label is like, we can't make as much money off a smart person, so we just need to sign some ignorant people that don't know nothing. And by the time they figure it out, they kind of pushed out the game.
So what about the people, the veterans that's been there, you know, like Mary J. Blige, all of them older, you know, and Snoop and all of them, can't they do a label and bring in the younger generation?
Yeah, I would think that they could if they all.
Mm-hmm. And they don't have to do it like they did it. They don't have to be a thuggist. But, I mean, they can relate, you know. They from this their people, you know, so they can relate.
I think that that's what Jay-Z tried with Tidal. And then, you know, you would think, I don't know what it is. You know, it's like when Oprah was the queen until she opened up her network. And everybody tried to dog her out because Tyler was the darling until he started taking over. So it seems like it's cool if we work in there, but same thing on these NBA teams and whatever. You can be the employee, you can be the general manager, you can be the president, but when you become a owner and want to do your own thing, you become competition. And they try to squash all the competition because they want to keep eating. But, it seems like we got enough. You know, black millionaires and billionaires that if they work together, but then seems like some of them still may be tied to something that they can't offend the wrong person or they water hose going to get stepped on. Like, you know what I mean? It's like it don't seem like they all the way free. They still kind of tied to something. But I think, you know, what Jay-Z is doing or trying to do in the background and stuff like that is gaining power, and it seems like Puffy's trying to do stuff, but, you know, he still has a media channel. They got to go through certain things, and Byron Allen's trying to do stuff. But these people, they don't just own the labels. They own all the streaming companies. They own all the radio stations. They got rid of the mom-and-pop record stores, which was really making all the money and employing a lot of people. So it's just kind of like I think somebody – and you see what happened with Kanye when he tried to put out his own little player – They tried to dog that and blackball that because he was going to make a whole bunch of money and it wasn't going to go through the label. So, you know, it's weird. I think it's coming, though. I don't think that you can, you can fight it forever. So I think it's going to happen. These people are getting more money and, somebody's going to wake up and do their own thing.
Yeah, they're going to have to do like you did. They're going to have to think outside of the box. They're going to have to strategize. And, you know, because, I mean, these people got their territory, and they like, this is our stuff, and we ain't letting y'all up in here. But
you just said the smartest thing. And I don't know if you noticed what you said, but you are correct. That if you go in and try to compete with them on a game that they've been playing for 100 years, it's hard to beat.
You're right.
So you have to design a new game. You can't go in and try to beat them and be like, because if you go in and pay YouTube $10,000 to promote your record, the record label going to give them $100,000. If you go in and try to pay Instagram $100,000, they're going to give them $1 million. So you can't outdo them at their own game, but what you just said is powerful. You have to design your own game with your own rules so that you can win. And everybody keep trying to beat them. Everybody's trying to beat them at their own game, and they the experts at that game, and they made all the rules, and you can't beat them at it.
That's right. That's right. So. You're so correct.
You're correct. You're correct.
Maybe that energy will catch on and somebody catch it. Let me open this line. 843-610.
Greetings. Better love,
Eddie.
Can I be heard?
Greetings. Yes, you can.
Hey, brother. Hey, brother. Thank you for coming to Bev's platform. Share your light with us. What's up, E?
Not a problem, man.
What's going on,
Ed? Happy to be here.
Thank you. Thank you. All is well, E. All is well. I wanted to ask you, didn't Master P, Jermaine Dupri, and Jay-Z strive to do something at one time?
They probably did. And, you know, it was weird. I was reading Jermaine's lawsuit, you know, and he, you know, you think about JD was hitting 100, and they pulled the same trick on him. Hey, we're going to make you the president of Columbia Records. And then he get the president. All his groups from So-So Def go over there. They fire him and take the groups that they want. But we're going to keep Bow Wow, Jagged Edge, and the Brat, and you whatever. L.A. Reid, you popping. We're going to make you the president of Arista. Sign him over to Arista. Let him run it for a little while. Are you fired? We're going to take Tony Braxton, Outkast, blah, 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 blah. It's weird where, you know, we get a level of success, and it seems like we always have a price tag. And, you know, it was nothing bigger than LaFace. He could have just kept going. That could have been the new Disney, right? But somebody wrote him a check, and he sold out, and, you know, they took his most valuable assets or whatever. I don't know if they all were trying to do anything together, but I think that, like she was just saying, it really doesn't, to me, now that she brought that point out, it doesn't matter if you bring 10 of the most powerful black people in the music industry together if they try to compete and beat them at the game that they own, they're going to get squashed. You know what I mean? I don't know. I don't remember all of them trying to do something before, but they may have. But again, all of them were kind of tied to something. You know what I mean? Master P was at Capitol, and, you know, JD was at, you know, Columbia, and I don't know who else was up somewhere else. And so until they get their own resources and they don't have to depend on them people, it'd be hard to kind of go up against them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Just like what Walmart is doing, that's what they basically did. Like you said, the mom and pop record shops was a place where we used to visit and hang out. But now, just like what you're saying, since there's only the majors and the major labels, if you don't do what we want you to do, they put them out of business, you know, just like what Walmart is doing to small grocery stores. And
I think heard everything a dude talking, the dude from Chicago, real quick, I want to say the story, and he had all these independent record stores, and I had never known this until about a month ago, and he said what killed the record stores, the mom and pops, was SoundScan. And that was basically they wanted to put these computers in these record stores and monitor how many records you were selling. And so he was trying to tell all the black-owned people, don't put that machine in your store because it's going to put you out of business. And he said that they were selling their CDs for $19, and they was getting them for like $15. But he said what ended up happening, they put them machines in there, and they start reporting, and then them white stores or whatever, like Tower and the commercial stores, start knowing what was hot because they didn't know what was hot before. And what they started doing is start selling advertising on their front store. Like they would sell a wall for an up-and-coming artist and put up a display, and they would charge $25,000, $30,000 for that front wall, which would allow them to sell their CDs for $9.99. And he said that's what wiped out all the black record stores because they was buying their stuff wholesale for $15, and Tower Records wasn't even tripping off making money off the CD because they was making $250,000 a quarter offer selling advertised space in their store. And it was an interesting story, but he said they put that technology in their store and it killed all their businesses.
Mm-mm-mm. Way back then, they still was using AI, huh?
They got them. Because you got to think about, we knew what was hot, right? They didn't know what was hot, what was selling. We was breaking all the records. Then you put that system in there, and now you telling them everything that you selling. Then they just tell that to Walmart and Tower Records, you need to order this. And, you know, and they killed their business. That's what killed them, that technology. Crazy.
Yeah. I just want to say one more thing before I go. I remember back in the day, it was underground. You know, they had a few artists who had contracts with, like you're saying, the major labels. But what they were doing underground, like that's where they could speak freely and do their thing. You know, it's like back in the day, you can go in the hood and buy a mixtape. that mixtape wasn't, you know, somebody bought six albums and tied the music together. That most of that music was from those unadvertised parties where the artists would show up and play, you know, and do their thing, just like the Polo Grounds, you know, for basketball in Harlem, where a lot of pro basketball players go play in the summertime against the best of the best on the streets.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, that's why I said you had to be in them places to know what people was dancing to and was vibing to. And you know, they kind of let the they let the spy in, and they told on themselves, and they put them out of business. It's sad.
Indeed. Thank you, brother. Thank you for all you do.
Okay.
Appreciate you.
No,
thanks
no problem.
For that. Better love.
Hey, Eddie. Wait, before you go.
Mm-hmm.
Before you go, Eddie. Before you go. Hey, Ed. What you think about Regina Bell coming to Truth to Power?
Just like what Bev just played, baby, come to me. She's powerful. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Bruh, I had my computer on and my cell phone on speaker when Bev was playing that.
Yeah.
She's awesome. She's awesome.
Yeah,
She's bringing me back, man, because powerful of a voice and a presence as she is. And for her, you know, what'd she do, like two albums or two or three albums or something like that? And then, you know, it's like
she got a church. She's a minister, so she's been doing some gospel projects lately.
Wow. Where's the church at, if I may ask?
It's here in Atlanta. Her husband is John Battle. He used to play for the Hawks. And so they got a church here. They got a big church. I forgot the name of it. So when she was coming back to the studio, what she was doing, and they was every year on Martin Luther King's birthday, they was doing a 100-man choir, and they would perform at halftime and do a post-game conference at the concert at the Hawks game. So they would come over, and we would do the recording of the choir and the song, and then they would do the performance. So when COVID happened, we hadn't done it, and I hadn't seen her since then. But every year for like 4 or 5 years in a row, it was like clockwork. They would come in about a month before MLK's birthday. They would record the song, and then they would rehearse, and then they would perform it at halftime, and then they would just do a big gospel choir, a concert after the Hawks game. Her husband used to play for the Hawks, yeah.
Wow. Jeez.
Yeah, but her church is here in Atlanta. If you Google her, it'll pop up as, Minister Patty LaBelle, and they'll tell what church that they at. Yeah.
Wow. Jewel in the South, of course. Where else would she be but the Jewel of the South, which has always been Georgia. Even before there was a pink foot on this landmass, that's always been the empire and the Jewel of the South.
There it is.
You know, now you have inspired me again. Michael Jackson and Prince told a story. They both emphasized that they gave that record company 3 or 4 albums, and they kept all of the albums, but only put one out. So they still owed another album. You know what I'm saying? It's just like tentacles. Once they get them tentacles in you, it's hard to get them out. You know,
it's like sharecropping, right? You didn't make enough. You didn't pick enough cotton to pay your stuff, so you indentured some more. We own the scales, and we weigh your bags of cotton, and you didn't pick enough. So, yeah, it's been going on a whole bunch of times, man. Same game.
Wow. Deep. Well,
thank you,
I hope we're getting better. Thanks, sis.
Yeah.
Better love. All right,
okay.
Brother. Peace. Thanks,
love.
Dee.
Okay.
All right, Ed.
Just look at us. Everything is backwards. Everything is upside down. Doctors destroy health. Lawyers destroy justice, universities destroy knowledge, governments destroy freedom, the major media destroys information, and religions destroy spirituality. That's where we are.
Go check your ass all over. Christmas is a big booty whore. A Maybach coupe in a PlayStation 4, praise the Lord. I'm playing the Temptations, Motown, Apollo Brown, a D-conversation. Not a nomination, not a Mason, not abomination, not Osama Satan, not healthcare.gov. I don't got a lot of patience, my inauguration, not a hibernation. I'm Sovereign Morris, a one-man nation. So many bitches, I should share them. But homie, you a bender, the eunuch in a harem. King Solomon's mind, Father Time. Yes, it would turn water to wine. So I'm drunk enough to turn your average daughter to a dimer. Beverly Hills Messiah, plastic surgeon, Delilah. New tits, bad witch, just to trick Samson. In the barber chair, but still strong. Where's my handgun? Every second precious, but the Terminator's catching. Plug us in the matrix, turn our brains into ketchup. The matrix on the cloud, Terminators into drones. Humans or genetically modified clones. Deliver us from evil. Deliver us from evil. Deliver us from evil. Deliver us from evil. The British royal's really German. Family named the Battenbergs. About as royal as Duck Dynasty in Johannesburg. They ask me if I'm Muslim cause I don't eat swine. Nah, let's call it kosher, my original culture. Crime what Hitler did to Jews by the Rhine. But two wrongs don't make it right when you occupy Palestine. Hit white Christians, mission assisting their end time. Go flip their wigs when Jesus the cast a good time. Black skin, big lips, hair full of dread. Probably got his music bumping while he can't hear our friends. Pac wondered if heaven got a ghetto. Marlon Brando tweeted, heaven is the ghetto. A lot of poor East Asians, niggas and Latinos. Heaven is Highland Park in Puerto Rico. And if you hate our color, brother, I should let you know there's another place down below where you can go. Every second precious, but the Terminator's catching. Plug us in the matrix, turn our brains into ketchup. The matrix on the cloud, Terminators into drones. Humans or genetically modified clones. Deliver us from evil. Deliver us from evil. Deliver us from evil. Deliver us from evil. Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
That's, yes. Curtis, I wanted, I don't know, are you familiar with Lady G's son's song? Have you heard any of his songs?
No, I hadn't.
Okay, I'm going to play one so you can hear it. This is Lady G's son.
that can break us. Bad bitch with them lace fronts. Please excuse my language. Kick it then we face blunts. Ain't a thing that can change us. Life with you is so blissful. Fell in love when I kissed you. Victim of that fake love. Everybody has their issues. And that's real short. Yeah. That's just how I feel short. You know about the life that I live to. Why on earth would I risk you? Kiss your ass goodbye and take you back like girl I miss you. Way before we met I had the coldest heart. Our love is so infused, how could we grow apart? Take you right back where we started at. Posted up by the laundromat. Said you got a man, I'll catch him lacking like a quarterback. Traffic jam, but enough of that. I'm a real nigga, that's another fact. Got 100 bands, we can run a France. Take a step by step, girl, you love to dance. I be geeking over you while I'm passing the blunt. Anything to keep my thoughts from babbling on. Take a trip and let it kick and we can meet right back in Babylon.
My baby.
Sounds good, man. Sounds okay. Like what's going on right now.
Yeah.
Just gotta connect to the fan. Gotta connect to the fan base and find out who's looking for the product and figure out where they live out and figure out how to put it in front of them.
Well, I have a question for you, Curtis, because my son St. Rose is on the line, and say hi, Rose.
Hey, how's it going, everybody?
Great. Hey.
Greetings.
And as a young artist, you know, we were talking about earlier in our discussion and how the system is, how the industry is, you know, the Bobby Browns that have their own industry and, you know, Babyface and how they have their own contracts and you have to record with them and be signed with them. As a new artist, in today's world, with today's music, what advice can you give a young, aspiring artist who, say, is in an area like Cleveland and they don't really have much opportunity?
I mean, it's really like I tell people like this. I think looking at it as an artist in a song, I think it's, to me, it's smaller. I look at it as, you know, there's a brand. And then the brand has either going to have a product or a service to sell. So, you know, his brand is his artist name, and his product that he's serving is his song. And, you know, I just try to take it out of the song world and think of it as a business. So if you have a business or you have a brand and it has a business and it has a product, again, you have to figure out who are you making that product for or who's looking for that product. And you have to figure out who ain't looking for that product, because you don't want it. We don't have unlimited marketing budgets or unlimited resources, and so we can't market or promote or target our product to everyone. So you have to be super specific about who the person is that, like, who's your fan base. If it's high school students, then you can perform at high schools and prep rallies and whatever. If it's college students, that marketing promotion program is going to be different. If it's people that just got out of school, they in the clubs, that's going to be different. If it's 35, so you can't reach all the people. So you kind of got to start the project off by figuring out who you making it for. And like I said, more importantly, who you not making it for. And once you identify, hey, it's young people between the age of 16 and 18 that listen to this type of music, then you have to figure out where they are. And once you figure out where they are, then you got to figure out how do you get your product in front of them, because if they was already looking for it, they're going to consume it. And so what I'm finding out is that, you know, these artists, they think that their biggest asset is either their song, their songwriting, their performance. And what I'm trying to get people to understand is that your biggest asset in this music industry is your fan base. And if you don't have a fan base, you really don't have value to anyone. So if I'm a club owner and I invite you to come to, you know, perform in my club, and you can't bring 20, 30 people to pay $20 and have a drink, you don't have any value for me, even if you dope. If I own Yeti Cups and I want you to promote my Yeti Cup, but you don't have followers at bar, it don't matter. And I think where our artists are getting beat up is these social media people realize that, you know, the dude, whatever his name, Jake or whatever, the dude that won the Olympics don't get to fight Holyfield. The dude that got 3 million followers get to fight him. And the dude that got 3 million followers get the record deal. So while you, he needs to figure out where his audience is, and then it doesn't matter if the audience is 20 people or 30 people, but you need to match your audience up with somebody who finds value in your audience. So no, you may not have value to the Cleveland Center that holds 20,000 people, but there's probably 200 mom-and-pop restaurants or bars that only hold 40 people that if you told them that, hey, on your slowest night on Tuesday, I can bring 20 people in here that'll buy two drinks and order food, you would have value. And so it's kind of like a mismatch where the artists are trying to go to these big, giant places and get their attention, but those big, giant places don't value that small audience. And so it's kind of like you got to be a reality where you are. Like if you only got 10 people following you, then you need to know who will pay for those 10 people to see their product. And then you go from 10 to 20, 20 to 40, and then you kind of scale up. But he has to figure out where his audience is, find out who's looking for that type of music, figure out how to get it in front of them, and then how to convert them into a fan or a follower, and then he needs to monetize the follower. That's where the value is. The value ain't in the art. The art is always selling something else. And unfortunately, our artists aren't figuring that out. These social media people are, and these strippers are, and those are the ones that the record labels are giving the deals to. So he just got to build his fan base, and they got to start from his friends, his family, his cousins, his homeboys. If he can get his block, his neighborhood, his city, his county, his region, then his state, and you kind of got to grow it from there. You know what I mean? And he can do it, but most people skip over the 20 people right next to them who will do anything for them trying to get to. Like I tell people, a lot of people leave $100 worth of change trying to chase that $20 bill. You know what I mean? So you got to deal with the people right next to you. Yeah, he can do it, though.
Rose, did you have a question for Curtis?
I'm trying to think. I believe so. Pretty much I just tuned in, listened to everything he had to say, and really just going over it in my head. Like, I'm in agreement for sure, and I see clearly the type of steps that I got to be taking. So I think I'm okay for now.
Yep, just think brand, product, service, customer. I mean, if you know, if you're trying to sell water at a track meet, you're not going to have a problem, right? Everybody going to need some water. You're trying to sell, you know, junk food or something, they ain't going to buy it. So just figure out what the audience is looking for your product, and then present them with your product, and, man, you'll sell out of it. But, you know, it don't matter how dope you are. If you're trying to sell it to people that don't need it, they're not going to buy the product.
Gotcha. Excellent advice. Excellent. Eric, you still with us? Okay.
And I just wanted to thank you all for having me. I got to put my daughter
thank
in bed.
You. Okay. Okay.
And,
thank you. I'm,
yes,
I'm happy
thank
you
so
that
much.
You joined us this long. Thank you for staying here with us. And keep up the good work.
All right, y'all. Thank y'all for having me.
Okay.
Right,
have
bye-bye.
A good night.
Thank you so much.
Thank
peace
you, Curtis.
Love. Right of love.
Thank you.
Okay. Do we have a, let me see, a port here? Was she joining us, Lady G?
Actually, she is, and I'm waiting for, I'll send her a message. She'll be calling in. How long do we have?
We have or another 49 minutes if we want to go that long.
Okay, I'll go ahead and message her now.
Okay, and I'm gonna put one of her pieces on. Let's see.
When I was a little girl, I told my daddy, I love your shoes, and you smell good too. I like your smile, it's really nice. Then he said to me, baby, let me tell you something. I only wear brown shoes. Brown goes with everything, even blue. I know you like blue too. He smiled, I smiled. I didn't see him for a long time after that. I really can't say that you abandoned me. What you failed to do was see it through that I was a part of you. Although I exhale, can't help to think how you had forgotten about me. Birthdays, holidays, and Sundays without you bewails me. As I inhale, it amazes me why I ever called you my brown shoe daddy. I'd often wonder a lot about your life too. As I review, even in this breakthrough, I'm still loving you, just like the browns you love. Like, I love blue. Brown shoe daddy, oh, how I miss you. Brown shoe daddy, I haven't lost you. Now your spirit is free and you're right beside me. I've accepted wasted time. Our souls aware as you hugged me before you passed through. Forgiveness I give unto you as you say I love you too. In my most weakest times, I know where to find you. We will forever remain connected. I am a part of you. Oh, brown shoe daddy, I love you.
Okay, Lady G.
Yes.
Who was that?
That's Livette Cherie, poet and entertainer extraordinaire, and believe it or not, that song was about her father. She has an amazing series of videos out. Her spoken word and her poetry to music that you can find on YouTube. And she has a new book out of all of her poetry. And she's going to come on real shortly to tell us a little bit more about that. But she comes to us from the city of Long Beach, California. And she's been doing poetry her whole life. And it's been quite a passion for her. Her two singles that came out in the past 3 years is Butterfly and Brown Shoe Daddy. So it embodies a lot of love and passion and even healing when you really sit down and take it in.
Mm-hmm. And while we're waiting for her to join us, can you give us any insight on what's going on as far as astrology is concerned or the moons or anything you want to give us?
Oh, sure. No problem. Mm-hmm. Give me 1 second while I go ahead and pull up some information. is E on the line or did he fall off? Or
Eric?
Yeah.
His line is open. I don't, I know sometimes he have phone problem with his phone.
Well, right now, what's really the big stellar moment is this month we have five planets that are coming together. And they're closer to forming a sequence where Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, and Saturn are eventually going to align in that order. It's very rare that they're in that sequence of Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, and Saturn. And that should happen on the 24th. And it's going to stretch across the southern sky, starting from Mercury to the very low in the east to Saturn high above the southern horizon. In addition to that, we're going to have the moon alignment too. And that's going to go ahead and align between Venus and Mars. And it's a crescent moon. Crescent moons are really about intuitiveness, psychic capacity, empowerment, creativity. And so it's all these planets just coming together, and it's a very unique occurrence when they line up like this. In the meantime, there's a lot going on. We have Venus in Taurus, which is a really great time because Venus is ruler to Taurus. So pretty much every house that Venus is in, Venus in Taurus is about stability, things of the second house nature, family, money, stability in what we're doing in our lives. It's also love. And so where you would look at in your chart to see where certain transits are is if you look at the houses and say you have Taurus in the first house and you have Gemini in the second house, and let's say a certain planet is in Gemini, okay? Well, you would put that planet, because it's in Gemini, where Gemini is sitting on your birth chart. And so let's say you had Mercury or, you know, a planet in, you know, transiting over that house. That's the energy of that particular planet would activate, or you would be stimulated or urged in that sense. And that's really how transits work. So we got a lot going on this month. Saturn is still in retrograde, but as per Vedic sidereal, which is a little different than tropical, Vedic sidereal is in Capricorn, so it's going back to the former house, asking us to straighten that area of our life so that we can, you know, get it together and move on to the next house. So if you look at it like, when Saturn was in Aquarius, it was like, I'm visiting this new area of my life so I can check it out. Now I'm going to step back to the old house, and I'm going to go ahead and pack my bag so that come the end of the year, I can move out. Okay? And so what we do right now, as we're in, you know, back into Capricorn, is we're finalizing all of those things that need to be stabilized. We're revisiting things that need to be taken care of, that need to be finalized, that we kind of slacked on, okay, or we took a break on, okay? And then the abundance or the rewards that come for our hard work, our efforts in not giving up, will be abundant in that way of we'll finally see what's going on, okay? For those people who are just struggling with it, they're going to continue to struggle, okay? This is a time that you don't give up on anything that you value. If you can't do it now, you're kind of going to be stuck. So take a look at the area of life that Saturn is sitting in. Look at what Jupiter's doing, okay? What is Jupiter expanding, okay? Because that's a blessing too. And with Jupiter being more so, and again, this is Vedic sidereal in Pisces, I mean, it's in its own sign. So the thing is that we have to understand about Pisces is the 12th house of undoing. It's the 12th house of loss, okay? And so I try to be very mindful about what my clients and my tribe is going through. What is it that I can give up so to speak, to be better. Because Jupiter wants to expand and give you things and bless you in creativity and abundance in Pisces. But what am I willing to give up? Like, here's an example. If Jupiter is sitting in your first house as a Pisces rising, okay, then what would happen? Or Aries in Western Tropical. That's the first house of the physical self, okay? And so Jupiter likes to expand that house, meaning I'm going to gobble up everything. I have this urge to have, you know, some cheesecake, and I'm wanting chocolate all of a sudden. It's the urge for the physical self to expand. Okay, so what would you do with that Piscean energy? What are you willing to give up? You know what? I might go ahead and eat a little bit more, but I'm going to make sure that I'm mindful not to eat sweets or sugar. I might just go ahead and start a keto diet, or I might go ahead and start a regimen, okay? So give up something for the good cause so that you can get the benefit and the abundance that Jupiter wants to give you, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what's going on. You know?
Okay.
It's a great time right now.
Okay. Good information. I think this might be our, let me see, I see a hand raised. Let's see. 605-924.
Hey, how you doing, Sister Bev? It's Craig.
I'm doing good.
I want to open up. Hey, how's it going? Better love, y'all. First,
better
I want to offer up some prayers for healing for Sister Antoinette, who's under the weather, according to what I heard last night. I've been on and off, kind of listening in.
Okay.
And there's a brother on here that mentioned the polo grounds. I grew up in the Bronx on East Tremont and Southern Boulevard during the fire years. So what I've been hearing tonight is really good for me. Hip-hop's been very much a part of my life, even now at 51 years old. But I wanted to ask a question to the sister that was just talking. What everything you just said about planetary alignment, what does this mean for the Capricorn on January 8th, 1971? Born in the 45th
okay.
parallel. So what does this mean for people like me?
Hold on one second. Do you know what your ascendant is?
I'm sorry?
You know what your ascendant sign is, your ascendant rising.
Okay.
It's in your...
No,
I'm
asking you.
I mean,
okay. Do you know what time you were born?
8:49 a.m.
Okay, hold that thought. Okay, so yeah, 8:49. You said a.m.?
Yep. January.
Okay, and you said what day again? January the...
January 8th, 1971.
Yeah.
Yep.
Hold that thought. Of course, my Mercury retrograde is still in shadow period. It's not allowing me to look it up. Hold on one second.
No problem.
I'm going to ask you one more time because it didn't post. Where were you born?
Bronx, New York, Fordham Hospital.
Bronx. All right. We hope to have a tour and perform there. Okay. And so you were born in January, and you said the 8th?
Yep.
And then what year?
1971, 51 years old.
1971 was a good year. And you said what time?
8:49 a.m.
49.
Yeah.
Okay. Normally it doesn't take that long. Okay, so from what I'm seeing, it's really been a hard few years for you, I would say, okay?
Yeah.
Because Saturn is literally, you have a Saturn ascendant, okay? And so Saturn is harder, okay, if you can imagine, Saturn rules Aquarius and Capricorn. And so it's been 28 years since Saturn has returned to visit any of its Aquarian or Saturn planets, okay? It's not just Saturn return sun signs or your Saturn return Saturn placement. It's going to affect all things that are Saturn and Capricorn if you have those planets. And so for you, the rising is how the world sees you. And so for you, Saturn would indicate that you've had to, you know, get some new friends, okay? Maybe end some toxic relationships, a new tribe, yep. Or, you know, like let go of some people because they really didn't have your back, okay? And it's not a bad time. See, it shows up in the 3D, which is what I call modern-day Babylon, because everybody is babbling on and on and on without any real intelligence, okay, knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. Saturn comes to restructure that area of your life. Remember, Saturn owns the 10th house of career and the 11th house of wish fulfillment. Okay, so Saturn is not to be feared. It's not to be, you know, oh, my God, I'm losing all my friends and I can't trust. No, it shakes things up so that you can get out of the toxicity. Okay, so you're going to restructure and you're going to be okay. I think the best thing that you can do is stay loyal to yourself and keep building. And if people are falling off, if you find that things are too toxic, it's either going to make or break everything right now, meaning it'll end toxic relationships. Or if you're in a relationship, you'll be tested and it'll take it to the next level. So here's an example. When you're going through, like say Saturn is aspecting your seventh house of marriage, which is just pretty much kind of what it's doing for you, and also other people, the seventh house is other people. As Saturn is aspecting at 100% capacity, it's like sitting in the first and it has its flashlight looking directly at the seventh house of other people in marriage or relationships. Trials and tests are hardships. Okay, meaning I lost my job, I got sick, okay? When you're in a relationship with someone who values you, loves you, respects you, even in friendships and partnerships, yes, it's still a test. But true Venusian and even Jupiterian quality does not fade, okay? And so if you're in a toxic relationship, you'll end it. If you're in a good relationship where there is value and maybe there's some lessons that just need to be learned, okay, then you'll take it to the next level, okay? But it is about you regrouping and you finding a new, finding your tribe, okay? Does this resonate with you?
Yes, it does, in a lot of ways.
Okay. Now, your moon in Gemini, you have a tendency to overthink anyway, okay? The sun in Capricorn, once again, you know, with Saturn in Capricorn, even though your Saturn is in Taurus, the sun is still being affected in the way that it's still a Capricorn sign. The planet is, you know, still in Capricorn. And so it is about you not giving up. It is about you maybe even, I'd say, want to do something with career or in addition to what you're doing. Okay, wanting to do something like open a business or a shop on the side or, you know, online or anything. There's all kind of things that you can do with the moon in Gemini. Like you can think a business plan literally overnight, like just in one sitting, one 30, 40 minute sitting. You'll think about it. You are really like a business just waiting to blossom, and not just one, many. Am I right about that? You think about business?
As a matter of fact, I have. Yep.
Okay. You know, and so your energy with Mars and Scorpio, even Jupiter in Scorpio, you're highly, highly, highly intuitive. And you can be very emotional, too, because it's kind of like, why aren't things happening for me? And this is something internally, because Capricorn shows up to be very, you know, reserved and resilient. But deep down inside, it's like, why is it taking so long? And why am I hurting? Okay, really that Scorpio energy is about transformation. And it's about you not being so fearful and being in control of your feelings, meaning think past your feelings. Don't allow your feelings to control you. You be in control of your feelings. So And when you start to feel a little, you know, a little emotional because you've just had it, like you've really had it. You probably feel like people really haven't supported you or they're not really on your team. Just know that this is just the time right now. Mercury is still in shadow period of Mercury retrograde. It's actually going direct now, but we're still in that Gemini season. So revisiting some things from the past, you know, would show up as, are we still doing this nonsense? Am I still having to worry about this? Okay. So just know that this is a time period of retrograde. Everything is going to push forward. But it's for you to think past your area that you're stuck in. The eclipse energy was really for you to rediscover, you know, do I have a problem still with that? Because I don't think I have a problem. If you felt some kind of way, it's spewing out of you, so to speak, so that you can deal with it, you know, the best way that you can. Wow, you know, I just discovered that I guess I still really haven't forgiven you, or I trust you or not trust you for this or that and the other. Okay, you're a thinker, so it's like no one would know that you're sitting there thinking of everything in a million different ways to look at things. Turn your conveyor belt off of the mind, because it's really a time for you to be in control of the overthinking, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. And, you know, you can always reach out to the show or, you know, Sister Bev here or, and,
give,
you know, try to reach me.
Give out your information.
So I'm at Gem Lightwork on Facebook and on Instagram. And you can always email me at gemlightwork@gmail.com. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Paula.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you for asking.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Okay.
You're welcome.
Better love. Okay. Let's see. Eric, I guess Eric did get back on. I see his lines open. Okay.
That brother has some powerful number combinations. His area code was 605. All right, that's the twin right there. And then if you take that 11, and by the word 11, you're gonna have ELL, which is 8, which is his vibration number is 8, January 8, and then even is 1. So he got a 1 and 8 in January 8th. Then he got 1971. That's another 1 and 8. He got one name everywhere. Yeah. So, man, I would say that a Capricorn, you never have to motivate a Capricorn. All you have, I would say, like G said, take a break from yourself. You know, I work with ghosts, y'all. You know, they rambunctious. You know what I'm saying? They're not gonna sit still and just be and they rambunctious, man. They're gonna do some movement. So.
I'm just saying with his movements
and those number combinations that he has, it would make his work less if he paid attention to the flow of his numbers.
Yes.
You know, like we in 222 and he got the 999. All right, go right ahead.
Well, you know, the thing about Capricorn and even Aquarius right now, for everyone who has those planets or, you know, just your houses, you know, your areas of life as a house, that have Capricorn and Aquarius, you know, right now it's really about, you know, not giving up again on what you value and walking in your truth, you know, and a lot of times, you know, we feel that we're walking in our truth, but things change. This is not the time to give up. And one of the things that can happen is we become very, very depressed in Capricorn energy. We get depressed and we become, you know, bound up, because you got to remember that devil card in tarot is the Capricorn card. Now, that doesn't mean you're the devil. It just means that you're in bondage of your own emotions and your own feelings, and that really doesn't look good on you. Capricorn is about climbing up that mountain and overcoming obstacles. It's about rising high in the way of obligation to society, okay? And when you fall, there is no option. You get back up. The courage is found in getting back up, get back up. Just get back up. You've already lived this before. Get back up. Don't get depressed. Depression is a feeling that is not your friend. While Saturn is in Aquarius, it's really about a team of people. So you were by yourself in Capricorn energy. Now Saturn is going to a lot of us working in teams, because Aquarius is the masses. It's the 11th house of networking. It's also the 11th house of fame and wish fulfillment. So we're getting a little bit of a break here. You know, Saturn does well in Aquarius. So that's something to look forward to in the next 6 months, okay? Now, we know we had inflation. I think I talked about this with Rafi earlier in the week. We have, you know, we had the eclipse and the solar eclipse and the lunar eclipse in Taurus and in Scorpio. And so we have to be mindful of the inflation of Taurian things. You know, all things Taurian. Butter is $6, $7, okay? A gallon of milk. I mean, anything that's Taurian, meaning we feed ourselves, okay? Food, gas, things that are hidden, petroleum. All of those things went through some major shifts with that energy. It's going to be lingering on for about 6 months. The sun in Algol, okay, I don't know if you, I've studied some of this, and I spoke with Brother E on this, and even Eric. I spoke to Eric on this, Eddie. And when you study the sun in Algol, literally it means losing one's head, one's mind. And so the shooting in Texas, okay, that young man, he was born with the sun in Algol, okay? And so pay attention to what's going on in the sky. When Mercury is in retrograde, it's not just in retrograde for you and you're being tested and you're playing mind games and people are remembering and revisiting. The entire planet is under the influence of Mercury in retrograde and Venus in Aries or Taurus, okay? You know, and Venus going into Gemini, revisiting things again, multiple things, okay? So be mindful of mathematics in the way of mathematics and astrophysics, okay? In the way, how much earth or how much water or how much air is standing in front of me? Don't look at the person, look at the energy. Pay attention to the energy. What does water do to fire? What does earth do to, you know, fire? Okay, if there's too much water, what's it going to do? It can cause a lot of damage. Okay, if there's too much earth and there's not enough water, what's going to happen? Okay, and so then you can understand personality and how to get along with someone who may be too much water energy, water element, water modality, okay? Because you're too hot, you're too much fire, okay? And there's nothing wrong with understanding the language that cannot be seen, okay? And yet it's right there for you to see, so pay attention. Anyway, any questions?
I do have another caller here. Let's see. 336-350. 336.
Greetings, Sister Bear.
Yes, Mama AG.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Thank you so much for taking
my
call. Yes,
okay,
ma'am, I can. I just tuned in. My phone beeped, and somebody sent a text, and I'm like, I didn't know you were having a show tonight. This is great. Who is the young lady?
Oh, I'm Lady G. I'm Lyric. I do astrology, Vedic, Sidereal, and Western Tropical. Pleased to meet you.
Oh, pleased to meet you too, baby. Let me see. Do I give you my Earth Day and all of that?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I came to the planet in Maricopa County, Phoenix, Arizona, 8:10 in the a.m., mm-hmm. and July 1, 1952, and Robert Lee Paris is my birth given name. And
okay.
this is interesting. Do you need anything else?
Actually, I'm doing two charts for you right now. Just give me 1 second, and I'll have that for you. I do two because I superimpose Western and Vedic sidereal. So just give me 1 second.
Okay.
Now you got a birthday coming up, Mama AC.
Yes, ma'am.
I do, and I'm here in Aquarian Town, Tucson, Arizona, at Devin Gables. It's a rehab facility. So I think I'm going to be here through my Earth Day. It's going to be really interesting, to say the least.
Okay. Are you,
I'm almost done here. Just give me 1 second.
Your voice sounds strong. Are you feeling better?
I got a cortisone shot, and I'm icing my knee, and I've been out in the dirt. I wet the dirt. I'm so grateful that they got a water hose out here, and then before the sun comes up, I get out there and I wash my porch down in my roller chair, and I wet the dirt and muddy it all up, and I stick my feet in it and do my meditation.
Okay.
Yeah, in the mud. And I think I'm going to find a way to sit down in it where they won't pay any attention, where they won't see me, so they won't be having babies, me sitting in the mud.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Okay.
So what's going on for you? Thank you so much for your patience. It's a little similar to our earlier guest. You know, you have you're a Cancer ascendant and as per Vedic sidereal, and Saturn once again is sitting in the seventh house. Okay, and so you're almost done with it. You know, for you it may have shown up as reliable people in your lives. Where is everybody? Or, again, having to get rid of some people that aren't very reliable. But in general, you know, this is about ready to pass for you, and you may find that, you know, you're more interested in studying something or speculative gains or just, you know, esoteric knowledge, you know, reading more books, because this energy is going to pass. Jupiter is in your ninth house as well, again, as per Western Vedic sidereal. And so there it could be traveling, which I know is hard with all these things that are going on and you're not feeling well. But also, too, it could be you wanting to research more things, higher learning, higher knowledge, maybe taking an online course, going back to school, or simply just being far more spiritually inclined. Aries is in your 10th house with Rahu, the north node, okay? And so career things or things around career or retirement, you know, I'm not exactly sure what's going on with you right now, but there may be something, too, that you may just, you know, it's a combination of, you know, whether or not you have the energy to do some things, but there may be like these moments where you're just like, well, you know what, that sounds like something I might like to do out of nowhere. It can also be working with people can be a little bit difficult too, like sudden ups and downs. Like you don't really kind of know if it's a good day or a bad day, but more so the spark of passion to want to do something with regard to people and career is going to be a little bit more sparky for you, meaning it's a little bit more lit up for you, if that makes any sense.
It does. I'm working on a project, even though I am in another phase of my life, and I won't get into that right now, but I'm recuperating and I got to figure out how I can manage to still do what I love to do, and that's out in nature and from a wheelchair. And anyway,
I understand.
So it's been a challenge to, it's been a challenge. I know there are ways that I can get around it. I just need to have the people that can assist me in harnessing and creating mobility equipment that can help me continue. Because I love being out in the nature, in the dirt, in the pit, in the sweat. I love it. You know, so that's where I am. What do you see that?
Well, you know, with Saturn, it's back in that seventh house. So it's like but I just see, honestly, when it goes into the eighth house, because you have Rahu there, okay? And so Rahu kind of can make things suddenly go crazy, you know, like 1 minute it's good, next thing it's bad. 1 minute it's good, next thing it's, I don't know what the hell. That, you know, that's the demeanor or the energy, right? And so when Saturn's there, it's good, slow that down. Because the eighth house is about sudden ups and downs for our transformation in, you know, in our own healing on this earthly plane. And so when Saturn's there, Saturn is going to slow that down. It's going to slow down the sudden ups and downs, okay? And once it comes out of that seventh house, you'll know exactly who you can trust to deliver and who not to, because that cycle of being tested in that seventh house of other people is over. Meaning Saturn's going bye-bye, now it's coming to the eighth house and I need him to slow me, I need all of these sudden things going down. So I give it about 4 or 5 months. And of course you should be, you know, healing up a lot more by then. You should feel better about the company that you keep. Like, you'll start to feel that you can trust it. And then the disappointments of other people will, like I said, it's going to be slowed down tremendously. You may, again, want to study more, or just your escapism may be in YouTubing or researching or studying or going back to school, okay? I see that with Jupiter in your 10th house of career, or your obligation to society, it's meant for you to lead people on their journey, to advise them.
Baby, what did you just say?
To lead people on their journey.
I lead people on their journey? Is that what I heard you say?
Yes, that's what you heard me say.
Oh, I hate this damn phone. Wait, can you repeat that again? Say that. I didn't hear that.
That is what I said. You're supposed to lead people on their journey. Okay? Now, leading shows up in different ways. Okay? Like, I know I'm supposed to lead people on their journey. Well, I had a really hard life. Okay? But the hardships taught me so much. And there's going to be somebody out there who needs your passion, who needs your knowledge and your wisdom. You are meant to lead people. You're meant to lead a tribe of people. And you're going to call me on that, okay? There's something, it may be in the tone of your voice. It may be in your delivery. It may be in your history of what you went through. But you're really here to help people. And the only time I really find that people listen is when they know you've been through it, okay, when you've really gone through it. So take it. I know there's an urge to study more. Really tune into that. Go inward. Why am I so drawn to this? And really start reading it. Pay attention to the signs that are in front of you on your journey in life, meaning literally we're all on a journey. So if you find that you're hanging out with a bunch of Capricorns or Aquarius, don't look at the face. Look at the sign. And it doesn't mean that you have to engage. It's like we're on the freeway and we see a McDonald's sign, but I want to go to my hotel room and go to sleep. We don't have to stop at McDonald's. We can pass it on by, but what do I know? I know that there's food there if I want to take that route, okay? It's the same with the Capricorns and the Tauruses and the soul group energy that you are literally sitting at the table with, the five people that you are around on a daily basis. What signs are they? It's not whether it's toxic or positive. Pay attention to the literal sign on the road. Is it a Virgo? I can't stand this person's always complaining. It's not about the complaining. Virgo is about paying attention to details.
Mm-hmm.
Are you paying attention to details, or are you just looking at the fact that this person is micromanaging or they can be difficult?
Mm-hmm.
You see? Does that make sense? So just be mindful of that, okay? You're going to feel nervous to study more.
You just said it. You hit it on the bullseye, Yes, that's why I'm here at the Gables. And I don't really pine for my family. They don't live that far away in Phoenix, and I'm in Tucson. But, you know, I have been sent here, and you just have solidified with what you said. The little sister just left out with my ice bag, and she said, are you into gematria? And I just kind of looked at her, and everybody that comes in this room, it is amazing, and they all smell good. And I've been here since last year of March, April of last year, and I'm here. So you just told me what you just solidified it, and I know it's other colors. So thank us. Sister Bev. Thank us, Brother Eric. Okay.
Absolutely. It was my pleasure. Thank you for calling in. And
thank
feel
you.
Better.
Thank you.
You're going to be feeling better, okay? Just be mindful.
Yes, ma'am.
It's going to slow down.
Yes, ma'am. Thank us.
Okay. Thank us, Mama AZ. All right. We are down to our time here. And I think Eric has left the porch. I think his phone dropped off. So I'm going to thank you, Lady G, and tell the listeners again one more time how they can get in touch with you.
They can text me at Gem Lightwork, G-E-M as in Michael, the Archangel, Lightwork on Instagram and on Facebook. And you can email me at gemlightwork@gmail.com. And real quick, Rose, are you there?
Yes, sir.
How can we get a hold of you, or what are you doing next with your music? Is there somehow we can reach you if we're interested in peeping your brand and your music?
Yeah, actually. So if you would like to contact me for booking, features, or any other inquiry of that matter, you can reach out, call, or text, probably area code 424-468-2593. That's a direct number to my website for booking if you're trying to get in contact. And my socials is at St. Rose World everywhere. As far as the music goes, a lot of people locally, they know I make music, and they support, and I've been gathering a lot of music and just collecting it in the vault and just letting it, you know, collect dust. So as an artist trying to really put himself out there again and put the jacket back on, I'm working on releasing all of my stuff consecutively and consistently and being consistent this time, taking a different approach. And so, yeah, just rolling out a lot of my unreleased stuff in the vault for the people. And maybe by the end of the year, I'll be album ready, I think. But until then, I'm not album ready because I got so much stuff, so much content I haven't let go. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So right
well, thank
now,
you so much.
Yeah, right now, that's what I've been
Yeah.
doing. Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Okay.
Oh, it was a pleasure. We'll have to do it again.
Yes. Keep
yeah.
up the good work. Okay. Keep it going. All right. Thank you.
Okay. And thank you, Lady G. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lady G. Yes, and we'll do this again. Okay.
Absolutely.
Better love.
Good night.
Okay. Good night, everyone. All right. Better love.
Good night.
And thanks, good night. Thanks, everyone, for listening. And I'll be back, Monday with Dr. Robert X here. So I'm looking for my music here. I lost my place here. Ooh. Okay, I guess it didn't want me to play it, so I have to play something else here. Okay. All right, better love, everyone.
So, what do you want to do? I'm here, baby. I'm ready, baby. I'm waiting on you. Believe me, I am patiently waiting on you. Yeah, there's something wrong with me. Every time I'm alone with you, you keep talking about you loving me. Hey, baby, your foreplay just blows my mind. So why don't we stop all the talking, girl? Why don't we stop wasting time? I've had my share of lovers. Some say I'm damn good. And if you think you can turn me out, baby, I wish that you would. 'Cause you keep telling me this and telling me that. You say once I'm with you, I'll never go back. You say there's a lesson that you wanna teach. Well, here I am, baby. Practice what you preach. Well, here I am, baby. Practice what you preach. Yeah, it's just you and me. So many things I can do to you, and so many ways I can believe. Hey, 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 it's your mood, yeah. Why don't you start turning down the light and show me just what you can do? Hey, baby, I've had my share of lovers. Some of them were damn good. But if you think you can turn me out, Barry, just wish that you would. 'Cause you keep telling me this and telling me that. You say once I'm with you, I'll never go back. I know there's a lesson you wanna teach. Here I am, baby, practice what you preach. Is it? What do you preach? Lady, baby, 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 we're wasting time, precious time. All this talk about what you want to do and how you're going to do it to me. Come on, practice what you preach.
Now I've had my share of lovers. Some say I'm damn good. But if you think you can turn me out, girl, I just wish that you would. 'Cause you keep, oh, you just keep, no, you just keep telling me this and telling me that. You say once I'm with you, I'll never go back. There's a lesson you wanna teach. Here I am, baby. Practice what you preach. Still waiting, practice what you preach.